Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of NBA.
Hey, yo, you ready? Let's do it.
I'm ready. I'm ready to end this season. I'm ready to end this season, like real quick. I'm not so sure about yourself, because the Bucks actually have like a meaningful playoff run coming up. But yeah. I'm ready to assassinate this season right now.
No first round matchup with the Raptors. Thank you very much. We'll see out these last few games.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. Miles here. Maddie on the other end of our fantastic technology. We're going to give you a quick run through as we sort of plow on through to the playoffs. Most teams are under single digits now as we get through, you know, to the very intriguing, you know, in sarcasm and, you know, in italics play-in. Probably not so much for the East, but for the West is, I guess, intriguing for the national media, and I guess international bandwagoners all over the world, with the Lakers sort of wallowing away in ninth and tenth. So I think that's the only reason it's sort of getting any real attention.
bloody super team, that one.
Super old team. I don't know about super team, but that's definitely hasn't been the season that they, I guess, were sort of envisioning. But yeah, we can heap shit on the Lakers a little bit later on.
The Greybeards.
I mean, look, they've only got themselves to blame, really. It's real funny. I seen on Facebook, it might have only been yesterday, where it's like, oh, let's do the blind taste test of Jordan at 30, you know, at Jordan at his prime, you know, 30.3 points a game, you know, blah, 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 as it goes through. You know, they're fairly comparable seasons. And then it's LeBron at 37, you know, fairly, you know, obviously his rebounds and assists are higher than that. And then it's like, enough said. And it's just like, hang on a minute. Yeah, pretty sure in 1992, Jordan was winning a championship. And in 2022, LeBron is in a really crappy conference on a really crappy team that they thought was going to be good. And they're nowhere near the playoffs.
So they're in a tussle to actually make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. And if this was a normal season, yeah, and none of this playoff BS, then they would have been eliminated weeks ago.
Yep.
From any sort of playoff scenario. So, he's dealing with some niggling injuries that, I guess, I don't know, the physical specimen that he is hasn't really dealt with over the last, really since he's gone to LA.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of mileage he's got on those tracks. Yeah, I mean,
oh, it's unreal.
He's freakish, but it had to start happening eventually.
I mean, you say that, but you I don't know. You never really associated LeBron with big and look, you know, heaven forbid that a real nasty injury comes along, but it's just been little niggly crap injuries that come along. He had that, yeah, a couple of years ago. He had that groin injury on Christmas Day that sort of really shot him for that season, and that sort of sunk the Lakers super low. Yeah, and then now this year he's had all sorts of issues. You know, he's ankle, knee, back. He's you hate to see the big man break. He's not breaking down, but boy, he's putting a lot of stress on his body to try and give this team. He's just given them everything he's got.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
it's taken its toll.
Yeah, when you got to carry a whole team on your shoulders like he has done in the past, but when he was a lot younger.
No, that's right. Yeah, the youth was there. Like, you know, now it's carrying a team that's got, you know, it's got some young players that's sort of, I guess, not starless, but do you know what I mean? Like the stars that they do have on there are, you know, on the wrong side of their prime.
Yeah.
It's really sad to sort of see that. It's funny to see him in the purple and gold fail because that's not a franchise that's really associated with, you know, with failures, especially with big time stars. But it is what it is. Like he went to LA to, you know, not, I don't think he went there for the basketball. I think he went there for the post basketball empire that he's trying to build. So, for him to be able to actually win a championship with the Lakers, even though that was in the little phony Orlando playoffs that they had. And that's Anthony Davis at his peak. And now Anthony Davis has gone back to being Mr. Glass again.
Yeah.
I think he's meant to be back just before the playoffs as well. So, considering they make the playoffs, he might actually get another game.
Yeah, until his elbow falls off from a breast bridge.
Something's got to fall off. So I guess we may as well start with LeBron. We'll go through some milestones that sort of happened just post All-Star break. It's been quite a few, and I think they were fairly significant and interesting for sort of people that may have missed out on these. So LeBron, he's gone past 30,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, and 10,000 assists, which is just, that's in itself is phenomenal. And he's going to be, you know, he's the only player with those sorts of numbers, and those numbers will only continue to swell, as his career goes on.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the whole who's better, MJ or LeBron conversation. They're both the GOAT, in my opinion. Different eras, different sorts of players, similar accolades, similar mindsets.
The mindset on both of them is fairly consistent. Like, you know, a lot of people will say that, you know, that LeBron doesn't have that killer instinct like Jordan had, you know, but Jordan, you know, as we've seen with The Last Dance, it can be an absolute total asshole. I guess probably not so much on the court. We're actually seeing that, I think, this year with LeBron on the court, where he's really giving some of his young custodians the curry, you know, so to speak, like on the court, like, you know, them missing rebounds and stuff like that, and him getting frustrated, telling them to, you know, God damn it, get the rebound. Like, you know,
let you go.
It's been a super frustrating season for him, you know, in that regard. But those, you know, I guess those personal milestones, and he comes out and says that he's not, you know, that, not so much he's not that interested, you know, in those. You know, a lot of guys like that'll, you know, that'll be his legacy for years to come. But I think that the appreciation of what he has done, and, you know, in such illustrious company with these sorts of numbers is by himself, and he's only a couple of thousand points behind Kareem, you know, for all-time scoring leader, which is just out of this world.
And leading the league in scoring at his age.
No, that's right. And I think that's the other thing too. Like, if he missed too many, I think it's, if he misses like four more games, he's actually not eligible. To get the scoring title. So I think that's very interesting to see too, because that'll only be his second scoring. He's only won the scoring title once. But it's the consistency, and it's always the consistent. It's that, you know, people have put the numbers up of, you know, people at the back end of their careers at 37 and how many points they were scoring, you know, like D Wade, you know, 10 points, you know, Paul Pierce, 4 points or whatever. And LeBron's still pumping out the 30s.
Yeah.
So exactly, yeah. I think that's, I mean, it's through necessity though.
If he wants that
team to be any sort of significant and relevant this year, which is not going to happen.
It's like
how many times have you seen Lakers games, especially on, you know, either ESPN or TNT, where they're getting railroaded, and the superficial crowd that turns up at Crypto, the boo birds start to rain out. Do you think anyone would think it's a New York Jets game? Like, it's unbelievable how quick they are when the boos come out. It's crazy.
He's doing what he can, but there's only so much you can do with a limited roster.
No, well, and you know, is this his fault? He's the one that's approved all these teams, these people, these players for this team. Like he's
basically the co-GM. So
yeah, like it's him and Rob Pelinka, and I'm not sure who's got the most power there, whether it's him or Rob Pelinka.
I was reading something the other day. The season continues to be a bust. They're looking at trying to get Snyder in as coach. I don't know if that'll make a difference. Ooh, wow.
It's not coaching. It's not coaching. Like when Vogel had a full roster and a healthy Anthony Davis, they won a championship.
Yeah.
It's never been with coaching with LeBron, though. Like he's a coach on the court.
Yeah. Yeah. The actual coach is more or less just there to fill a role. In my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they've got to have a suit on the sideline. So, you know, the coach is there for everybody else, not him. Have a look at the success that he had in Cleveland. Yeah, he's never had, and that's always the blight. Well, it's not a blight, but you know, that's always the conversation that's secondary to who's better, MJ or LeBron. It's like, oh well, Jordan had Phil Jackson. It's like, yeah, he didn't need no Phil Jackson. Everybody else needed Phil Jackson.
Yeah. His great greatness was uncoachable.
No, he didn't need Phil Jackson. It's like, oh, who are the big coaches that LeBron's had? And it's like, yeah, oh well, we get it. He doesn't need that.
That's right.
Yeah. He absolutely doesn't need that. I guess we'll go from one great to another. Well, in his own right anyway, like as we go on to more another accolade, I guess, Nikola Jokic. Has been the second fastest man to reach 10,000 points, 5,000 rebounds, and 3,000 assists. So I didn't really think that was super significant until I found out who the person was that was actually the fastest, and only by about 9 or 10 games, and that's Larry Legend.
Yeah, not bad for a second-round pick. I'll take that.
Not bad for showing up. What year was it? Was it 88 or 89 in the 3-point contest with his warm ups on, kind of just walking around going, all right, who's coming in second? Nobody. That is just, it's not unrational confidence, but holy moly. Like you hear some of the stories about Larry and the trash talk and the calling of shots is just, it's they're phenomenal. Like the more stories I hear of that past era of the Celtics, you know, especially when they're winning championships through the 80s, it's mythical.
Oh, he might have had a bit of Dutch courage going on around those years as well.
I mean, that's probably true. But look, yeah, I thought that was fairly significant because he's the reigning MVP. I think he's getting only recognition throughout the back end of this season as an MVP candidate, and at the end of this pod we'll run through our quick sort of season award predictions. I at the start of the year I think he was getting copious amounts of disrespect for a reigning MVP, but I think he's really starting to stamp his case for back-to-back MVPs.
I don't understand voter fatigue. I mean, if you're the best player in the season, you're the best player in the season. I hate all this narrative crap.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well deserving. He's
had to really stand up throughout this whole season. It looks like Jamal Murray is not coming back.
Nah.
That sort of come out this week that he is behind on his rehab. So look, as much as we want to talk about lost seasons, can Denver push for a championship without Jamal Murray?
I don't think so.
Hovering. What are they? 5-6 in the world. Like they've done an absolutely fantastic job to be where they are at the moment. To have no Porter Jr. as well for most of this season. Jokic he's got large shoulders. And he's carrying that franchise at the moment.
Yeah, Bones Highland will give him a bit of a shout. He's been really stepping up last 20 games or so, giving him some of the support he needs.
That's right.
Yeah, comparative to the other teams in the upper echelons of the West, he's got nowhere near as much.
Or that, yeah, they're far behind, you know, sort of top three in the West.
Oh, no, I was going to say, his teammates around him, nowhere near the quality that those other teams have. Yeah, and what he's done with that, as I said in the last one, yeah, he's definitely made a meal out of scraps this season for the team. He's led them further than I think anyone thought they would go without those two for the majority of the year in Murray's case.
Look, they missed Aaron Gordon for parts of this season as well. Like, he's come back, you know, post All-Star. He's not an explosive scorer or anything like that. He's not a go-to sort of guy. You know, Monte Morris is, you know, he's been sort of, I guess, sort of thrust into a starting role, but back to the bench and then starting again. You know, he's pretty solid. Will Barton continues to do what he does. You know, that's a man with irrational confidence.
Fifth, sixth, seventh options on a contending team, but
no, absolutely.
Yeah, apart from Gordon, but they're doing a lot with very little.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, for them to have what 44, 45 wins for the season, I think is extremely, extremely admirable. And look, could even be facing a first round exit. Really, they've got themselves, I think, enough distance away from Minnesota to keep them out of that play-in, unless, you know, something sort of drastic happens, that they sort of sink below that sixth spot. I think that would be a bit disappointing if they got into that playoff or that play-in scenario.
They'd have the Warriors at the moment, wouldn't they?
What's that, sorry?
That had the Warriors in the first round at the moment?
A 3-6 is Golden State. So, that's... And with the way that they're playing at the moment... Man, that could be a 7-game series in the first round.
And it is
if they don't start to pick their game up, and we'll get into the Steph Curry injury in a minute. Mm. If they don't start to pick their game up, they could definitely be right for the picking, so to speak, after having such a promising start to the year. Yeah. Another milestone, just quickly, James Harden, just, you know, nonchalantly going past Reggie Miller on the all-time 3-pointers list, which is, it's disgusting to say, but that's just the way that the game is at the moment. Would you consider James Harden a great shooter?
Oh, I don't think he's anywhere near the pure shooter that Reggie was.
No.
Just the volume.
Yeah. And that's where the game is at the moment. So, yeah, he just sort of breezed past Reggie Miller. So, you know, he's only behind, I guess, you know, two of the greats in Ray Allen and Steph Curry. So, that is what it is. I just thought that was a little something to sort of to bring up. But I think the big one, you know, besides the LeBron one, I think the big one is Greg Popovich, the man who stepped in. Was it in 1996? 1997. Fired Bob Hill and went, you know, he was the GM at the time, and just went, you know what, the hell with this, I'm going to take over as coach.
Yeah. Was it the season Robinson got injured and they drafted Duncan, or the year before that?
I think that was the year before.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the year before. So I think they had that ordinary season. He had no choice. I think it was 1996, and Duncan was Duncan drafted in
98, I think.
98.
Yeah. Don't quite know.
The Spurs won the title. In the shortened season, in the lockout season.
Yeah.
I think super significant, becoming the all-time leading regular season coach for wins at 1,336. Funnily enough, you know, yeah, with a massive, massive fourth quarter comeback against Utah, that actually he'd been sitting tied with the great Donnie Nelson for a couple of games, and yeah, had that massive comeback. Yeah. I think they were down, I think in the second half, they were down 20 plus and like down 17 in the fourth quarter, and ended up coming back and beating Utah for him to push over the limit. I think is,
that is just, yeah.
Oh, that's, I mean, like, you know, from where he came from, you know what I mean? Like he was one of the ones that had to deal in the front office with which I think the one of the most he did I think one of the greatest fleece job or, you know, will not fleece job trades in NBA history, trading away Dennis Rodman for Will Perdue to the Chicago Bulls, which were just a masterstroke. You know, Will Perdue, like, you know, what a great player he was. But he just didn't want to deal with Dennis anymore.
That's
the calls that a GM's got to make. But
after last dance, that was probably not surprising.
I think even if you watch the Rodman 30 for 30, like, whew, boy, he really sort of branched out that first day that he stepped in to that San Antonio Spurs organization from the Pistons. I'm not 100% sure if Pop was actually in the front. I think he was in the front office, but I don't think he was the GM when he made that trade for Sean Elliott. But yeah, he definitely had to deal with a couple of rough seasons with a bit of a PR problem, shall we say, with Dennis. But
we'll say probably one of my top three favorite people to see interviewed. Always just dry and sarcastic with the media.
He's the best. Always great. He's the best. It's like the two. It's like the two questions that they have to come up with. And then it's, yeah, then, you know, a lot of it is like five word answers. And that's it. It's such simple. You know, why do you think you're scoring so much in this first quarter? Oh, because we're putting the ball in the basket. Oh, very good. It's just.
Why are you losing? Oh, we're not playing very well.
Yeah, we're not playing very well, and the ball's not going in the basket. Like, it's, like the sideline guys know what they're getting into when they've got a Spurs game and they have to go, oh god damn it, we have to go up and sort of drag him away from a conference in the split quarter, and we've got to ask him these ridiculous questions that he's going to give us nothing to.
Yeah, just really blunt answers to.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Like, you know, even with the late great Craig Sager, like, you know, even.
Yeah, they have good rapport.
He did it, yeah. But massive kudos to Greg Popovich there, and you know, reaching that milestone, passing Don Nelson. Took him a while over the last sort of two seasons because they haven't been terrific.
Spurs,
over the last couple of years, so they're in a bit of a rebuilding process, which I think is going slowly, to sort of say the least. But big congrats to him. We'll circle back. The Golden State Warriors. Obviously, we know that Steph Curry is very, very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green is back.
Mm.
Klay Thompson looks like he's getting
back to Klay Thompson.
Back.
Yeah.
What else is their deal? Like, at the moment, they're playing horribly at the moment.
Don't know. Just one of those slumps in the season, I think. I wouldn't read too much into it at present.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's the fact that they've got that, you know, they're two rookies that they've got there as well. In Kuminga and Moody, they're playing Kuminga a hell of a lot more than what they're playing Moody. And Moody was a top sort of guy draft pick.
Yeah.
They've lost James. James Wiseman was touted to be coming back,
but he's
been ruled out now for the rest of the season. So I think size is a bit of their problem. Like, you know, Draymond Green is an undersized. Man, he's an undersized four.
Yeah, let alone a five. Yeah.
Yeah, let alone, yeah, trying to play a five. And like we said, if they're going to have to play, you know, the likes of Denver or maybe even someone like Utah. They've got two dominant bigs. They could be in for a hell of a series if Curry doesn't come back anytime soon. Like that injury that happened, I don't know if you've sort of seen the Marcus Smart, I guess, sort of dive for the ball. A la Dellavedova. I thought when Delly, and who was it that he dived at that he injured, and everybody just crucified him, just absolutely went off their rocker at him to say that he was diving at the ankles.
I remember, but even Steph came out and said there was no, he wasn't upset about it, didn't he?
I don't think there was. I know Steve Kerr was very upset afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. He was very upset with it. But, Steph sort of come out and said that, there was nothing really untoward.
Just tussle for the ball.
Just one of those things. And that was the same thing with Dellavedova. Like, please. It's one of those things that happen. You know, probably a little bit. It was a little bit aggressive. But, like I said, I don't think there's anything untowards. Nobody goes out there to injure people and to dive at people's legs and stuff like that, unless you maybe Pat Bev on Russell Westbrook, but I think that's another story.
Yeah, I mean,
man, those two have got beef.
Marcus Smart is Marcus Smart. He's a ferocious defender.
Exactly.
No malice in it, but it's just the way he plays.
Yeah, that's just hard. That's just hard nose. He's always been like that. Yeah, he's always been there or thereabouts in the last couple of years for Defensive Player of the Year. Always first, second team as of late. All defense. So I nothing really significant. But the thing that I find a little bit worrying, I think, just in regards to Steph Curry is, I think I just read this on Twitter. In the last 5 years, hasn't played more than 70 games. And basically missed the whole year last year. And this year, he won't play 70 games.
But that's not exactly fresh. He had a lot of injury issues his first few years out as well.
Right. He had those. Yeah. He's had those bad ankles for a long time. So, I think that's part of it. But I just didn't really know what to read into. You know, the last 5 years hasn't played 70 games, but you know, there's plenty of great players out there that haven't played 70 games. Yeah,
and in brackets. Quotation marks, contusions they sit out with.
They sit out with their DNP rest and leg contusions.
Which is a scratch on their leg from running into a cupboard.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, it could be like they do with ice hockey. Like, you know, they don't even disclose the body part. They just say upper body injury, lower body injury. That's it when they get brought up on the injury report. So
yeah, they can't exactly say bitten by ant. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's look, they're sitting pretty at third.
As long as they have no from all prognostications I've heard, they're expecting to step back in the first round, so I think they'll be
you'd really like him to get a couple of regular season games under his belt, I think, before you step into the playoffs, but
you don't want him to rant either.
No, well, that's it. You don't want to sort of have to rebuild, and they shouldn't have to rebuild chemistry between Dre, Clay, and Steph. Like, that should pretty much click instantly. It's just going to be those guys around them. Can Jordan Poole, I guess, sort of continue this unbelievable season that he's had? Filling in that void of Clay Thompson throughout most of the season, and sort of. Yeah, you know, now that Steph's out, he's continuing on. He's averaging like over his last like 10 games, he's averaging like 22 points a game or something. He should be squarely in the conversation for most improved.
Yeah, great.
Big time.
Yeah, it's a nice luxury to have, having someone like that be your flex option to start. That's for sure.
Oh, that's right. You know, he's one of my boys. He's a Michigan Wolverine, so. That's not surprising at all. He's got that tough blue blood program, Michigan, I think that's phenomenal the way that he's really sort of stepped in and really been like, he's been a go-to, you know, in some situations. So,
I'm glad Maple Jordan has found his home with the Warriors after.
No, that's right.
Been pretty much trashed on.
I think he's sort of taken a little bit of a back seat, I think, to Jordan Poole this year.
Yeah, he's probably the second option to him, but he does other things well, so he knows his role.
They're just the right fit. Some teams, it's just the right fit. Like, it just wasn't working out in Minnesota.
He didn't ask to be called the second Jordan, so we've seen how that goes in the past.
He didn't ask to get traded to Golden State either. That just happened for him. Like, that is just that's luck, and it's his fortune. And look, even Minnesota, like, you know, they haven't really missed him that much, have they? Like, they've had a terrific season this year. Like, you know, sort of rising from the ashes a little bit of, you know, not making the play-in and just being a trash organization for the past 15 years. Mm. But I think they've done really well, you know, with the way the Cats playing, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. They look like they're a good combination for each other.
Good core to build around. And I mean, yeah, I think we discussed it last time. They got some good starters around them, including your mate Pat Bev and Vanderbilt. Just need to flesh out that bench a bit, and they'll be good.
Yeah, angry ant. Like I think they'll believe in themselves a little bit too much when they'll wax on the Lakers a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
he's coming back and just going straight trash. And I don't think Russell Westbrook took that too kindly. But I think there's some real butting of heads when it comes to those two. They've got some history, and this is one of the only times that Patrick Beverley could actually say that they're coming out on top. So he's riding that wave all the way into the beach.
Yeah, he's definitely got a chip on his shoulder, but it served him well over the years. So
look, yeah, no, it has. Look, it got him back in the league. He was a nothing. He was playing in Europe. He just knuckled down. Yeah, got himself. I think he might have even got himself that opportunity with Houston. I think was his first team that when he come back, and just angry and ever since. Now, just quickly, Ben Simmons. Brooklyn has sort of been up and down. The mayor of New York City has come out and said that vaccine mandates are now over. This was as of the 24th, which was, you know, a week or so ago. Now Kyrie Irving is allowed in the building, and not just in the stands. He's actually allowed on the court at the Barclays Center.
But he'd like a break between games. Jeez, two games in a row. That was a bit rough for him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how he's going to do it.
Yeah, like, he's only had three months plus every second game basically off. Poor lad.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know how he's going to acclimate to playing in back-to-backs. And
So
those two back on the court with Kyrie and KD, they're wallowing in ninth at the moment, being beaten by Charlotte the other day on Kyrie's home debut, which he just couldn't buy a basket. He was like 1 for 9, 6 for 22 from the field. Ben Simmons is the more, I think, yeah, well, obviously he's the more intriguing part of this equation. He come out there a bit over a week ago that his back rehab not really going as planned. He had to have an epidural to get through, you know, rehab sessions and stuff like this. He's not giving birth. He's just getting through his rehab sessions. He's no chance of playing this year, right?
I think the Nets might be regretting getting him instead of getting some instant help like McCollum or someone like that.
Well, they got a little bit of instant.
They haven't gotten anything from him.
Oh, they haven't gotten anything out of him, but they got Seth Curry. They got Andre Drummond. They're not the pieces that you expect, but at least they've got something from there. Like Seth Curry has been.
The centerpiece was Simmons. That can't be mistaken. And he's contributed zero. Whereas this is peak Durant. You want to make the most of these years. And yeah, I just can't see it happening if they between those two. Mainly because I'll say Kyrie. He's too much of a headache. I
don't
have stock in any team in which Kyrie is a part of because he just wrecks chemistry.
He's left a lot of teams in his wake recently. That meme with the Grim Reaper and knocking on the doors, and you know that's Kyrie Irving over the last three teams he's with. He wrecked the Cavs. He come in, he wrecked the Celtics, and the thing is too, he's come out and said that he absolutely is going, or you know, plans on re-signing with the Nets, in the coming weeks after the season for the future. So that's nice for him,
but he booted, basically got Harden booted, who was supposed to be create this trio of unheard of offensive firepower, and
that's right.
It hasn't
worked, and you know that since James Harden's gone to Philly, He looked terrific probably in the first 10 or so games. They've sort of come back to earth a little bit. You know, they had those sort of James Harden-esque games where it's all it is just three-point, drive to the basket, get fouled, three-point, miss three-point, miss three-point, take a step back three-point, can't get to the basket, take two steps sideways, have a three-pointer, miss. He's gonna have those games.
Yeah.
He's going to have those games. But I think once sort of Philadelphia sort of irons those creases out a little bit, and gets Tobias Harris, I guess, sort of back on the wagon, so to speak, as well. Who's been he's sort of been off the boil this whole season. They should make a good push. But Brooklyn, it's just the talking point. Like they're in the media. Like there's no point in talking about the Knicks. The Knicks are just being the Knicks that they have for the past 10 years or so. So the big story in New York is Brooklyn. So look, it's good that they sort of done what they've done to allow him, or not so to allow athletes who are unvaccinated back into the back into the mix. I think it'll be a help for the Nets, but unless they start to really fire. Like I said, Kyrie hasn't had the rigors of a regular season behind him. Is that going to be good or bad for him?
I was actually referring to a quote on Twitter he made. He said, "Oh, two games," as in back to backs. And like, Jesus Christ, mate! You've had basically the entire season off.
That's what I mean. And that's all I'm thinking of is this gonna help or harm him? Is he? You know, he's another one like Steph Curry that just doesn't play full seasons. Like he's always had injury issues. This year, he hasn't really had injury issues. He's had New York State mandate issues. So I'm not 100% sure if this. This could be good for him. He could be super fresh for the playoffs, and it's going to be game on. And
that was self-imposed issues, but I have no worry.
Oh no, absolutely, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah,
he bought this
all on himself, and nobody, I guess, within that organization, nobody has sort of come out and said anything ill about him. That's just been everybody else.
Oh, it sure as heck didn't like the backflip from management at the start of the season. Oh, we're going crap. Oh no, we'll let him play road games now. After originally saying they weren't going to let him play any at all because it would be too much of a headache.
Any at all. Yeah, I thought that was like you said, bit of a look. If that's somebody else on the team, if that's Joe Harris, like that doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if that's DeAndre Bembry, that doesn't happen. So I guess that's sort of intriguing as we get towards the playoffs.
Basically, come back to it. Yeah. Simmons, I don't think he's going to be a factor in the playoffs because I don't think he's going to be playing in the playoffs.
Absolutely not. He's going to be street clothes Ben.
Yep.
Like street clothes AD, he's street clothes Ben.
I'd just stay at home if it's a first round matchup against Philly.
Oh my God, that would be so good. Oh, please, please let that be a first round series. That will be. The media will just be drooling all over themselves.
I think Philly would be licking their chops to have that matchup, to be honest. I don't really care about that regular season game. I think that
KD and Embiid went at each other in that game too. Like that was only just recent. They were jawing at each other. I think Embiid, like, he's never short on confidence, but I think he really thinks that they've got a legitimate shot this year. Hopefully it doesn't end in tears.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, we know Kawhi Leonard's not around in the Eastern Conference for it to end in tears, I guess, with a shot like he made in Toronto. But anyway, Kawhi Leonard's made a lot of people cry after playoff wins. So I guess we'll sort of, as much as I don't really want to talk about them, but he's in the news, Instagram videos are out there of off the backboard, through the legs, dunks. Zion Williamson is back in New Orleans, is allowed now for one-on-ones. I think that is unbelievably pointless because he's not going to play this season. So I don't get it. He looks great.
Yeah. Just continue the rehab and be ready for next season. There's no point.
Yeah, I don't understand these one-on-ones. We know what he can do. Like, it just the thing's going to be, unless he's going to continue to do these kinds of workouts after the season is done, which surely he's going to get bored with them. Yeah, he's going to want to get with the team, get reacclimated with everybody, and try and build some chemistry. One-on-ones, they do nothing. Instagram videos of him throwing it down just create that hype, I guess.
Like Simmons hitting a three in training. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh wow, that can happen. Look, it's awesome that he's back in New Orleans. He's with the team. He's sitting on the bench. I think that's good for a little bit of team morale with them. They're sort of pushing for a play-in spot, which we all know I don't care for. I'd just rather have their season end. But I think these one-on-one workouts and everything, it's a fairly long off season if all you're doing is just workouts like that. So I don't see the point in trying to burn him out. I think just keep him around the team, keep him at training, make him just want to get back on the court. Doing one-on-ones, I don't think does that. You got to want him to be, to have that passion.
Yeah, be pumped.
To be able to back part of the team. I know I'm healthy. The foot is right. Yeah. I know I can be a contributor. Let's go get this. But let's go get this next year.
Let's make a dent. Yep.
Yeah. I just thought all the hoopla that come out, that he was back in the gym, which was great. And then I guess, sort of his management team, which is kind of small and very private, that we talked about that last time. But for them to sort of put that out there just as a bit of a hype video, definitely got the attention that I think that was intended.
Yeah, I'll be hyped when he's back on the court playing proper games.
Oh, absolutely. I don't give a shit about him, doing one-on-ones and doing jams. Just besides the fact that dunk right there would have won the dunk contest this year. That right there.
This is true. That's not saying much.
Would it not? Would it not? That would have been tens for all. Unbelievable. Like that's the thing. Get him healthy. Get him confident. Get him in the dunk comp. I don't know what sort of creativity he could sort of bring, but if he could, I don't know. The only thing left that I can see is somebody does a Shaq. And just dunks it that hard that they break the hoop and it all just comes crashing down. That's the only thing left.
They can't even do that anymore. Didn't they redesign them after that happened?
I think that there would have been a major overhaul after that night in, I think it was in the old, that was in the old Prudential Center in New Jersey, where he dunked that and it came down.
Yeah.
I think and the one that he broke, like where the backboard came, I think that was in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a major overhaul. But there's been who was it that dunked it this year and they bent the hoop?
I can't remember.
I think that was in Utah. I think it was Utah and Dallas. And somebody bent the hoop.
Okay.
And they had to get somebody with like a broom to pop the spring back into place.
Put it back in place, right?
Yeah, I think it might have even been Doncic that actually realized it and said they had to pull up the game because you could see that the hoop was bent. I can't remember who dunked it. I'll have to go back and have a look through that. Gotta love it when things just pop into your head.
Was it like down at the courts? Did they have like someone go, yeah, bit more to the right, mate? Yep. Nah, yep.
Yeah, right. Deal. Yeah, no, you've gone too far. Nah, back over to the left. Keep pulling. Yeah, you gotta love that. Now I guess we're sort of, we'll wind things up. So since the All-Star break, we have had an offensive explosion in the league like no other. Since it was like an 11-day or 12-day period. Okay, so from the 5th of March until the 16th of March, we had 6 50-plus games. We had 2 60-point games in amongst that. And we had 15 40-plus games. Does the 50-point game, like, mean anything anymore?
I still think it does. I mean,
I think it does. Absolutely, I think it does.
I think it's still a major accomplishment to be able to manage to score 50 points in 48 minutes.
No, exactly. Okay, so here's something for you, right? So I did a little bit of a dig around on Basketball Reference. So we all know that that Wilt, you know, got his 100 and he scored like 118 50-point games, which is ridiculous. But we'll just start with, you know, I guess where we started watching basketball in the 90s. Okay. So for the whole decade, right? 5 50 point games.
That is 5.
Just 5.
Jeez. Yeah, how many of those for MJ?
No, that's right. So it was Karl Malone, Tom Chambers, Michael, David Robinson.
Really?
And David Robinson's was 71. On the last day of the regular season, for him to clinch the scoring title, which is as vivid in my memory as ever. So that was the 90s. So between 1994 and 2000, 6 years, 0 50-point games.
Jeez.
Until Shaquille O'Neal had 61 for the Lakers. So in the 2000s, we had 9 50-point games.
Started to creep up a little bit.
So a little bit of an uptick, but still gaps. So they sort of went in bunches in the 2000s. So between Shaq and Tracy McGrady, it was 4 years before there was another 50-point game. Mm. Yeah, then Kobe Bryant had a bit of a hot streak. He had 3, 4, 5. He had 5 50-point games in that decade alone. And then a little bit of a sprinkling of Gilbert Arenas. So
when did Mo Williams get his? Was that the 10s?
No, I think so. Yeah, I think that was around that. I'm not talking about 50-point games. So I'm talking about 60-point games. Sorry about that. 60-point games.
Sorry.
So these are 60-point games.
Yeah. Sounds like not very many.
Okay. No, that's right. Yeah, sorry, these are 60-point games. Yeah, my bad. No, I've got really, really bad writing. As we sort of push along, you know, in the 2010s, there was 11.
Mm.
We've already had 2 already this decade. 2 this season. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I guess it's the
we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 60-point games already since 2020.
I guess it's hand in hand with the offensive evolution and the rules favoring offense. It makes sense.
It's you know what I mean? It's crazy though. Like just that scoring explosion and then that step up between, you know, 50 and 60 points. But just the 50-point game to me, I think it's lost a little bit of relevance.
Yeah.
Compared to what it I think it used to mean. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, they're handing out 50-point games like they're going out of fashion at the moment.
I still think it leads to exposure for players. Like, I mean, Tyler Bay, I'm sure he wasn't exactly well-known, well-heard about until he got 50 the other day. Now probably a few more people are paying attention to him.
With Cedric Bey getting that was almost going to be my point. I mean, for God's sake, Cedric Bey got friggin' 50 points the other day for the Pistons. Yeah. So, you know, we had Terrence Ross. Was it a couple of years ago, I think, for Orlando, just all of a sudden just erupt for 50 points. You're just like, what? Where the hell did that come from?
When you've got microwave scorers, they can go off at any time.
No, exactly. I just think that's with the scoring explosion that sort of happened. It's died down, but just after that All-Star break, it was like, holy mackerel, like everybody is just, is there anybody playing defense anymore?
I think people are just so offensively skilled that it really just, I wouldn't say entirely comes down to their day and how they're shooting the ball, but I think defense matters a lot less than it did like even in the 90s, and a lot of that's to do with the rule changes.
No, that's right. You know, little ticky-tack BS sort of fouls and that they sort of have these days. It just doesn't allow for great defense. It allows for essentially non-existent defense.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do anything these days. And
yeah, protects the shit.
Yeah, you can. No, well, that's and look, yeah, there's certain things that rules have come in, especially in the last couple of years, that I think are very significant. Yeah, the Zaza Pachulia rule, where you can't sort of undercut somebody and, you know, potentially ruin their playoff run like they did with Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio, who looked like they were just going to absolutely hammer the Spurs, the Warriors in that playoff series. And yeah, that sort of cut. I think that was his fault. Was that his final season that he had in San Antonio as well?
Yeah, I think
not his final game.
Did he have like a on and off rehab season?
Yeah, he had. Yeah, with that quad, and I think that's still his problem right now. So there's something funny with that. Like he boohooed and cracked up and what's his uncle's name? That's his manager and his sort of keeper. Yeah, you know, sort of go, it's San Antonio's doctors. Like, yeah, they're the ones but he had all the best doctors in New York City. Now he's in LA. Surely he's seeing the best doctors there, and he still can't get on the court. So surely that can't be stemming from the screw up that he supposedly suffered in San Antonio. Because that's still the problem. It's that he had that knee issue at the back end of the year. I think he clashed with Joe Ingles. I think it was like a knee-to-knee clash with Joe Ingles at the end of last year against Utah.
Yeah.
That shot him for the whole year. Like that was a nothing little bump.
Mm.
And that shot him for this entire season.
Yeah, I like him. So I'm hoping he's good to go next year. But it's unfortunate. But yeah, getting back to it. That's why those rules were made to stop that sort of stuff from happening, I guess.
That's right.
It's a bit of I personally think, I don't care what people, I'm from that 90s generation of starting to watch basketball, and I much prefer watching a game these days to in the 90s. It gets a bit boring watching a slugfest 82 times a season.
Yeah, look I'd not so much the 90s sort of, you know, slug them down, beat them up. Sort of games. Yeah, there were. I'd probably prefer, you know, sort of late 90s to, you know, early 2000s, where I think, you know, sort of it was a more, the game was starting to get more spread.
Sort of a happy medium.
It is now. But you still had, you still had those dominant big men. And yeah. I still like that inside outside game because.
Oh, so do I.
As much as analytics like to say that, yeah, the most efficient shot is, you know, either next to the rim or the corner three.
Brilliant.
I still like to see big men dominate take advantage of mismatches in the post.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's, for some players, it's not so aesthetically pleasing. But, you know, for guys like Jokic, Embiid, you know, we've got an all right crop. Now I think of centers and big men, where I think they can sort of, you know, take back that dominance.
Yeah, it's starting to come back.
You know what I mean?
It's not as small ball oriented as it was even 3 or 4 years ago. Now I don't think.
No, now to me, I'm starting to like where, you know, where everything is going at this point in time. So that's, I mean, yeah, like we said, that's just one of those. Things that's happened, like you said, it's a style of play and it's a style of officiating, I think, as well. That's really brought.
Just get rid of those let fouls before I lose my mind. If I see one more of those, I'm going to cry. Just such a stupid way of disrupting play.
No, well, and that's the other thing too. That's the thing. It's the disruption of play. I think a lot of people are starting to crack up about the clear path. As well, I don't know how you clean that up.
I don't even know how you discern the difference between a clear path foul and a let foul. It's the same thing.
No, yeah, but yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like how do you clean that up?
Can't. Get rid of it. Abolish it. Chuck it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or if you do it, it's, yeah, anything like that. Whether it's either of those circumstances, it's two shots and the ball back. So
no, well, I think that's,
players will
that's,
stop doing it.
That'll be the only, that's really the only way is that sort of penalty is, you know, either one shot and the ball or two shots and the ball, like it is for a, you know, for a tech or a flagrant or anything like that. So
because you're basically destroying a high percentage, at least a two plus. So that should be counted as 2 points, like it is in the NFL. And then you should be get penalized for it. So they should get the ball back for you disrupting the play.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you've got to do it. Like there has to be a punishment for it. And yeah, a possession or an extra possession is it's premium, but you know, in a league now where everything is so fast and there's, you know, there's 100 plus possessions for both teams more often than not, you know, an extra possession is, it depends on the circumstance of the game. If it's close, you know, it goes without saying that it's a premium, but if it's a blowout, then nobody's really going to give a shit if there's another possession in a you know, an otherwise disgusting game.
Yeah,
but I think
got to be uniform across the board. But
no, that's right.
Yeah,
but and that's the thing. Like, you know, the NBA is sort of going through a little bit of a, not so much an officiating turnover, but they don't have a lot of those, super grizzled veterans there anymore, like a Steve Javi or a Joey Crawford, or, you know, do you know what I mean? Like guys that have been reffing for 30 years. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of young guys that might have only been 5-6 years, in the league, and that's just kind of come through with experience. There's a few women that are popping up now that are refereeing, which is really good. So I think they've lost a lot of their super experience when it comes to their refereeing ranks. There's always like a crew chief and stuff like that too. So I think that's sort of something, not so much new, but they've put into place where that there is, you know, like a lead referee, which doesn't make no sense. Like there's three of them on the court. Like how do you have a lead referee? Like
they're still in a certain position on the court. They can't see things other people can't.
No, that's right. Unless they're all rotating around the sun. Like, you know, when they sort of they'll stand essentially in a triangle, you know, as the offensive play turns out, you can't have like a lead official that don't make no sense. Anyway, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about your boy Jackson Hayes before we get off. So look, I'm absolutely opposed and appalled about the story that's only just come out. Well, it hasn't just come out, it's resurfaced recently.
All I'll say, I'll just be short and to the point. He's been a headache since he came into the league. It all started with that bloody pathetic little outcry about not making the Rising Stars game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's a baby.
And he's just been a pain in the ass since. How many chances is this bloke going to get, given the boot?
He's a baby. Like, he was overdrafted. Like when the Pels picked him, because I know in that draft that they were absolutely looking to grab Cam Reddish, and he was unavailable. So it was just one of those things where it's they've grabbed him. He's a super athletic big guy. He's actually making some sort of contributions on the court this year for the Pels. This incident happened in the off season. He was arrested. I think it was in LA. He was taken down by, like, he was resisting arrest. Like, it didn't, the body cam footage didn't look good. Like, he's a 7 foot giant, and he's got, you know, police officers hanging all over him like a tree. It didn't look good. And then the story come out about, you know, the domestic violence situation, and now, you know, his former girlfriend, Instagram model. I don't know how you make money off that. I know you've got to be incredibly hot, but, you know, Instagram model, ex-girlfriend, has now come out and slapped in with the lawsuit. So this is a resurfacing of it. A very ugly situation.
Yeah. No time for – there's enough of that in the NFL. Don't need to have guys like that. Thought we scrapped all those guys in the sort of mid-aughts when the NBA was really trying to make a push to improve its image. So don't need that creeping back into the league.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, and that's – I guess that, that was under the – under the iron-fisted rule of David Stern. And, you know, now that, that, that you know, Adam Silver's the commissioner and is very, very pro-player. So I'm not – he's – this is a – I think this is one of his more difficult decisions that he's going to have to try and come in. Like, the, you know, the NFL is tries to make themselves the moral or the morality police. Doesn't matter whether the person's been – you know, charged or not. So I don't think the NBA really needs to go down that that route, but it's definitely not a good image. And yeah, that I think something needs to be done about that swiftly. Yeah, whether it is just a, I don't know, I'm not 100% sure if the NBA has an exempt list like the NFL does, but I think something well, quick that, needs to happen.
That's what they did with I know it was substance abuse, but that was what they did with OJ Mayo for. Is it OJ Mayo or Tyreek Evans?
Both.
Yeah. They suspended them for, I think it was 2 years in one of their cases.
Tyreek Evans, yeah, he only just has sort of resurfaced after his 2 year ban. So, yeah, and definitely, definitely OJ Mayo. I think they were. No, I'm not sure. I think OJ Mayo's was PEDs.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, I think Tyreek Hill's might have been something a little more undisclosed.
Exotic. Yeah,
yeah, in that matter, but yeah, I think I'm pretty sure OJ Mayo's was PEDs.
Yeah, it should be a matter. It shouldn't matter if it's impacting your ability to play the game. Yeah, it does basically come down to the image you want to reflect as a league. And if that's what that grubby behavior, that's what he's up to, then yeah, I don't know why you'd want any part of that.
No, absolutely. And that, you know, whether that comes down to a team decision and if the team doesn't, if the Pels don't make a decision on, you know, we have to get you out of the media's eye, just to please the people, to sort of get him out of the building and not suiting up every night, then I'm not gonna say that they've made the wrong decision there. But something needs to happen. Whether it's a team sanction, and if it doesn't happen soon, then the league has to get on the front foot.
Step in.
Yeah. I think it's got to be quick because they have over there due process. So, you know, everybody gets the innocent until proven guilty. But
it is only allegations at the moment. But, I mean, on top of all the other things he's done, it seems like, I mean, yeah, it seems like a bit of a reach that all these things keep happening to him. And
no, that's right.
He's not responsible to it.
And he might just have the why me mentality. And, like, he seems extremely immature. I think that's a part of it as well. I think maturity is definitely a big part of it. So that situation hopefully comes to a head and a close quickly. But yeah, I think the league needs to step in on that sort of behavior and that sort of situation to squash it, get it out of the league, and yeah, people like that. To get them out of the league, if this is going to continue, it's an image thing. Like you said, it's an image thing for the league. I guess that sort of kills us on a somber note, but that'll do us for this.
Doing some awards, or
oh yeah, no, of course. Let's rip through real quick. We'll start off. All right, we'll start off with most improved. Who do you think's got that?
Most improved. I don't really like going anyone who's not at least a fourth year pro because I just think it's natural development for your first 2 or 3 years, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
I would probably, I really thought about most improved. I'll go with Luke Kennard.
I mean, yeah, he's been nice. Look, I've just pulling up their sports bet odds here, which I find is a little, I don't know, I think it's a little distorted because he's probably more in the MVP conversation than anything. And they've got Ja Morant.
Ja Morant.
For me, and I'm absolutely going against your theory. For me, I'm going Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, okay. Yep. Fair enough.
Look, Tyrese Maxey or Jordan Poole. Like, I think Jordan Poole has made an unbelievable step up in, you know, in stepping into those roles that he's sort of come into with the Warriors this year, taking advantage of what he's been given. So yeah, I'll roll with either Jordan Poole or Tyrese Maxey. Probably lean more towards Jordan Poole. Look, Tyrese Maxey has made a massive uptick in all statistical categories this year, but this is only his second year, so. But I still think, you know, in a team like that, you know, with
a contender,
that's right. I think is most impressive.
Okay.
A fairly easy one, sixth man of the year.
Well, this is where I think new rules need to be brought in, because I don't know how Tyler can be classed as a sixth man. It's just ridiculous. But obviously,
what do you mean? Let's just pull up Tyler Hero, and I'd be interested to see how many games he actually started this year. Because just the way, like you said, it's not so much that it's not fair, but man, he's been an assassin off the bench.
But he gets more time than half the bloody starters on the team.
Jamal Crawford did that a lot too, didn't he?
That's what I mean. It needs to be looked at, I think.
Yeah. All right, he started 10 games this year.
10, yeah. But what's his minutes average?
32.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's playing starters.
More than what Giannis gets.
Yeah, he's playing starters minutes. So, and look, you know, I guess that's just for team dynamic purposes. But yeah, Tyler Hero is 100% got that in the bag. Rookie of the year?
I'm going to go against the grain here and say Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, I still think Evan Mobley. Yeah, I think he's been look, Scotty Barnes has been most impressive as well for Toronto. But I think Evan Mobley has probably meant a little bit more to Cleveland and their, you know, sort of early, you know, more most of the season rise. I think they sort of started to stunt, you know, and fall a little bit over the last couple of weeks, the Cavs. But I think Evan Mobley, I think we'll have that fairly secure. Cade Cunningham has been.
I was going to say, if Cade Cunningham had played like he is now at the beginning of the season, he'd be a runaway.
He'd
everybody.
He has been most impressive in the second half of the season. He was awful to start the year. Yeah, he is a really, really nice all round player.
Mm. And, yeah, definitely shades of Doncic for.
He is terrific. We can definitely scratch, unfortunately, Josh Giddey. I know a lot of Aussies out there were sort of hoping and praying that that Giddey might be able to squeeze in there in the conversation, but he's now been sat for the rest of the year. Yeah. So that's rather disappointing. But you know, that is what it is. Yeah. So for him to even be in consideration is terrific, because he's had an unbelievable season.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he was a bit of a reach of that pick as well. So
absolutely. I mean, I will put my hand up, absolutely say it. Well, I thought he got drafted way too high.
Mm. But so, Jalen Suggs was a surefire. It just shows how much of a crapshoot.
Yeah, exactly. He's been very disappointed for the Magic. Look, Jalen Green's been nice for Houston, but yeah, I don't think he's
strong as well.
Yeah. But yeah, Suggs has been a super disappointment for the Magic. And they're all playing on crap teams, but you can still shine. You've got a better – well, if you're a decent pick, you've got a better chance to shine in a crap team, and he just hasn't done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Cole Anthony's been better than him.
That's why I don't get pre-draft hype. Until you've played 50, 60 games on an NBA court, I don't think you can say anyone is the next this or is going to be a bust this.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. All right, a little bit more of a tough one. Defensive player of the year.
Going with my boy Giannis.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's paying a pretty penny. He's paying $13. Look, I would probably, you know, and it's super boring, I would probably go towards more Gobert.
I'd love to see a guard.
Somebody who's a little bit out of the ordinary is Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, him. I'd love to see a guard win it for a change if Giannis isn't good. I'd love to see like Mikal Bridges or Marcus Smart, yeah. Someone like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I think it's probably for me. I think it's either going to be Giannis or Gobert, but I'll probably stick with Gobert on that one. But I think a dark horse really is Bam and his ability to sort of defend pretty much 1 through 4. Like yeah. he's able to switch. He's able to switch really well.
One of the few guys who can for a big who can put a dent in Giannis as well.
No, that's right. And you know that they and the Heat match up well against the Bucks. You know, we've seen that in previous seasons. So Bam is going from sort of stride to stride throughout his career. He's I think his ceiling is getting higher and higher as his game develops. So if he ever develops a 3-point shot, whew. Or even just just some sort of post move, you know, if he can, you know, if he's got good footwork, but he doesn't have the grace of a Joel Embiid or someone like that in the post. He's still a little, I think he's a little Dwight Howardy in the post, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, Dwight Howard was an unbelievable athlete, but you know, whenever he got the ball in the post, oof, sometimes it used to, you know, at the peak of his powers, his post moves were just awful.
Yeah,
but yeah, he would beat you with explosion and athleticism, and that's what Bam does.
Yeah. Another one I've been hearing a lot about, but it's been a pleasant surprise. I'm glad he's finally reaching his potential as Jaren Jackson Jr. on D. But I don't know. If that's just more to do with him leading the league in blocks is why people are touting him.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put him up with those. The other guys we've just mentioned.
No. He's not. He's not in the. He's. I don't think he's in the class of Giannis or. Even Bam or Gobert, even Bridges and Smart, I think are all sort of better defenders than that. Like, you know, leading how many times did Mutombo lead the league in blocks? Did he get defensive player every year?
Yeah.
And he was swatting more than, you know, two or two and a half shots a game like they are nowadays. He's swatting four and five shots a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I see you repping Mutombo there, so I thought I'd
thanks, mate. Yep.
Bring that up a little bit. Seamless, seamless segue. We'll go with the last. We'll go coach of the year.
As I do every year, I don't care about record really. I'll go with Spo. I think he's the clear cut best coach in the league for the last 5 or 6 years.
Man, I was thinking the exact. Same thing. He has done such an unbelievable job with this Heat team. He has, and not really sort of getting. I don't think the recognition that
he deserves,
he deserves.
I think he probably got the acclaim too high with the LeBron years at the start, and people aren't really.
No, that's right.
It's flying a bit under the radar what he's done with less talent since.
Did you see his post game interview the other day after the major spat between Jimmy Butler and Udonis Haslam you know, and him getting into it as well. That was kind of funny. He sort of thought everyone was trying to, you know, saying that everyone was just trying to figure out dinner plans for the night. And I don't know what it all stemmed from, like where it actually came from, but Udonis Haslam just sort of came out and said, "I'll kick your ass." It just went out of control. Then it went on the court. Spo's yelling at everybody. It's like, what in the hell is going on?
There's some highly competitive dudes amongst a highly competitive league. I mean, they like Butler. It's going to be one of the most competitive players in the entire top five in the association. So.
And look, he'll tell you. Yeah, he shoots from the hip. Yeah, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. So I think he said something that, you know, whether it's somebody there has it liked
on their weight.
Haslam is like a coach in a uniform.
Yeah,
really,
he's the older statesman.
I thought that was kind of funny with that sort of blow up that happened on the sideline, which just seemingly came from nothing. But that could be a little bit of a work, you know. They're just, oh yeah, team disharmony as we come into the playoffs, and you know that's.
I like a good
wrestling storyline.
Just a bunch of.
Last but not least, we'll go with the MVP, and I think that's a two-horse race.
Yeah, I hate to say it. As much as Giannis has done this season, I've said it since the big probably 20 games in. I think it should be Jokic. I think he's accomplished, as we discussed, more with less than Embiid by a long shot.
Yep. I'll respectfully disagree, and I think I think Embiid is having just hands down an unbelievable season, and I know he's doing more with more, and Jokic is doing more with less. I don't know. I just think that he's more in the. Yeah, in the front lines of the media at the moment, and like I said,
who do you think should win?
Joel Embiid. Okay. I think Joel Embiid is. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I think it's just like, and I might have that little bit of bias as well. You see him more in the forefront, you know, of the media and stuff like that. Not to say that Jokic isn't, but you know, there's that East Coast West Coast bias when it comes to. You know, especially when it's viewing of the NBA, because you know the West Coast game tips off, you know, at 7:30 West Coast time, but it's 10:30 Eastern East Coast time. So, a lot of people aren't really sort of tuning into those second games of doubleheaders on TV. But Jokic got the recognition he deserved last year. I think he's very close. But I think Joel Embiid, I think it's his to grab this year.
Yeah. I'm just not going against the Joker. I don't want to get Morris'd, end up in body traction for 40 games.
Is he even back?
I think he's slowly getting back now.
Is Markieff Morris, man. I know he got hit rather hard, and Jokic is a very large, forceful human being. But man, like that was so long ago now. Is Markieff Morris even on the bench for the Heat? Like I think I heard him the other day.
He's still rehabbing or something.
Good God!
Must have stolen his soul.
Ham it up, son. Ham it up. That's speaking of soul stealing, that's almost like a Tom Brady stealing the soul of the Atlanta Falcons in that Super Bowl. Like that's what's absolutely happened there. But yeah, I don't know. He's that's unbelievable. That like yeah, you just have not heard a whole lot about Markieff Morris and his comeback. Like I listened to a very Miami centric podcast, and I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about Markieff Morris, so I think even they've forgotten about him.
I mean, other guys have stepped up as well, Strus and guys like that. That probably mightn't have minutes for him.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's as an accomplished shooter as what his brother is. But yeah, they both got similar type games. They're both aggressive players. You know, in the forefront of the league anyway. So, if he's really done some damage to him, then yeek. It looked like an innocuous sort of hit. Like it wasn't you see much bigger collisions in the NFL. much bigger collisions in the NFL.
The moral is don't talk smack to large Euros. It just doesn't.
No, exactly. With possible mafia tie brothers, like you know, exactly. just
hush.
Don't do it.
Hush, troll.
I guess on that note, we'll pull up stumps. We'll pull everything up. Don't forget to follow us on our socials. We're on Twitter. It's at Final Play Pod. We're on Facebook, so just search the Final Play Podcast. Check us out on there. Give us a follow. Spotify, you can get our podcast on Spotify and SoundCloud. Usually we just put those up on the Facebook page and you can just click on the link. That'll take you straight to SoundCloud or Spotify. And yeah, you can sort of give us a follow on those platforms as well. Also, as always, a massive shout out to the boys at gymco.com.au, the boys and girls there. Always got a great platform for us. So check those guys out, gymko.com.au. They've got a few breaks that have still got some spots up for grabs. Cricket break, they've got an NRL break. All the new traders boxes have come out this year. So they're pumping those out. There's a couple of NBA breaks that are still clamoring for spots. So check those guys out. Pretty good value there. And they're still trying to fill the Pop Century case as well, which is a lot of celebrity sort of autographs and stuff like that. I think they're fairly hit and miss, but some of them are nice looking products. So check those guys out. We are on the forum. Community section. So you click on the community section on that, and you'll see podcasts at the bottom there, and all of our podcasts are available on there, and also on the Gymco podcast network that's on Spotify as well. So you can check those guys out on Spotify. Thanks again, Matt.
No worries, Mark.
We'll get back to everybody once we sort out all the garbage after the play-in tournament. And we'll give everybody a full playoff preview as those, we get our playoff seeds into effect, which will be good.
Box in six.
What's that? That's just like all the way through the playoffs, yep, all the way
six,
through.
Six, 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 six.
Yes, I'll reserve my judgment. And reserve my very little excitement. That's because they're such worthless games. Just let's all get a participation medal. Yippee! We've all made the playoffs. I finished in 10th place. Yay! I get a playoff game. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, so we'll see how that all pans out. Like we said, probably a more intriguing Western Conference play-in tournament than what it is for the East. Nevertheless, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll give everyone a full playoff preview, which will be fun. The Eastern Conference playoffs this year, I think they're going to be a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, your boys have got some. Especially once they come to the semis and the Eastern Conference Finals are going to be, that's tough.
We're going to have some close game sixes, that's for sure.
As long as they're a winning game six.
That's right.
And you're up 3-2.
Yeah, correct.
All right, thanks again, everyone. We'll catch us in a couple of weeks. See you later.
See you, guys.